I remember the first time I'd heard of Google. We had a babysitter who came over, and she used to like to play on our computer. We had this car racing game, and she was around the age where she was learning to get her license, so she liked to drive really fast on this car video game because it wasn't anything like learning to drive. But one day she came, and she had homework to do while she was babysitting us. And so I went down to the computer, and I was going to set up the car game for her because I figured that's what she wanted to do. But she said, no, I need to use Google. I said, what is Google? And so she goes onto the computer and brings up this really boring-looking website with colorful letters that said Google. And she typed in what she was researching, and it just came up with a bunch of results. She used it to research, and I was blown away. Like, I can ask anything on there? Like, anything will come up? Like if I want to know, like, when my birthday will be in 50 years, like, I can look it up? And she said, yeah, like, everything's on here. I was just blown away. We live in a Google age, in a time in history where the knowledge of the world is at our fingertips, where we can look up the hours of a restaurant we want to go to for supper. We can look up the writings of Aristotle. We can find recipes for cookies. We can find maps of the universe, all at a couple clicks at our fingertips. And I think because of this, we aren't that impressed by people knowing a lot of things. We're not that impressed with people who have a lot of knowledge. Because when someone starts spewing out just a bunch of facts, we just say, oh, that person spends too much time on Google. They just spend too much time on the computer or on their smartphone or whatever, and they just know all this stuff. We have this huge database of knowledge that we can access in milliseconds. Anyone can be the smartest person in the world with a couple clicks. Google knows facts upon facts, knowledge upon knowledge. But the thing is, Google doesn't know you. Google is an algorithm that can point you to the most relevant results. But Google doesn't really know who you are, doesn't know your history, what you've gone through, what's going on the inside. If you go on Google to look up symptoms that you have to figure out what disease or problems you might have, it'll automatically tell you you're going to die. You look up like a rash on your leg, and it just goes to the ultimate extreme because it doesn't know your medical history. It doesn't know what medications you're already on. It doesn't know who you are. And so it ultimately always says, like, you have cancer and you're going to die. It doesn't know you. Google doesn't know what's going on in your heart. Over this past several weeks, we've been doing this series called The Doctrine of God, meaning what the Bible says about who God is. We've been studying God's nature. We're going to study his persons, Father, Son, Spirit, and Trinity. And we're going to study his works, how God interacts with his creation. But so far, we've seen that God is love, that God is a God who created us out of his outflowing love that makes up who he is, that God is holy, that he is totally separate from us in the way that he is not sinful in any way. He's not tainted the way we are. We learn that God is just, that he executes perfect justice, and one day he will ultimately execute perfect justice on the world, and we see glimpses of that in Jesus. Last week, we talked about how God is all-powerful, and that is actually a good thing, not something to be scared of like Donald Trump with nuclear codes, that God, with his ultimate power, works for good. This morning, we're going to be talking about how God is all-knowing. That God knows everything. God's not just a divine version of Google. He doesn't just know all the facts, but he is intimately and deeply aware of who we are and what's going on in our hearts, in our past, in our lives. The whole premise of this series is to see what Scripture says about who God is. So it would be wrong of me to kind of just bring this forward without anchoring it in Scripture for you. So if you have a Bible with you, if you're using an app, if you're going to use one of the Pew Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 139. It's on page 521 in the Black Bibles. Psalm 139. This is where we're going to be camped out for today. We're going to spend all of our time this morning in the first six verses of Psalm 139. This psalm was written by David. Now, David, before he was king, was anointed king, and the king at the time, Saul, wasn't too happy with David. He was pursuing David, tried to kill him because he knew that he was going to be the successor. So David is writing this psalm as he's fleeing from Saul. He's writing this psalm, writing these things about God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, as he's fleeing a man trying to take his life. And I find that interesting as we look at what David says about who God is. Let's read this together. Verse 1 says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Now, this first line is just kind of the setup for the psalm. It's like the title almost of the psalm. It sets up what we're going to read in the verses following. He says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. God sees each action that we do. Not just sitting down and rising up, but that's meant to encompass the entirety of what we do, whether that's publicly out and about or whether that is privately alone in our room. God sees what we do. And this verse kind of makes me think of the song we sing around Christmas time. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so good for goodness sake. But God isn't a cosmic Santa Claus who is seeing whether you're being bad or good to tell whether or not you are going to get toys at Christmas time or a lump of coal. I never got a lump of coal. I must have been good for goodness sake. I digress. God isn't Santa Claus keeping track of your external behavior, because David continues, he says, you discern my thoughts from afar. God not only sees what we do, but he sees what we're thinking as well. Santa Claus can't do that. He sees what we're thinking. He sees why we do what we do. He knows our intentions, our purposes. He knows our thought process behind the actions that we're acting out. Which means he knows the things that you don't really talk about. I'm someone who I communicate for a living on Sunday mornings, but I struggle with communicating my deep thoughts and emotions. But God knows those. He knows the thoughts and emotions that I struggle to communicate, because he knows what's going on inside me. That means he knows my struggles. He knows where I have doubts and where I wrestle with faith. He knows my struggles against sin. He knows what's going on in my heart in the moments I'm tempted. God knows the things you don't tell your spouse. The most intimate, deep things in your mind and your heart that no one else hears. God sees those. He knows the sin on our mind. He knows the good thoughts on our mind. He knows the love we have for others. He knows the feeling of distaste we have. David continues, he says, you search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. He's saying that God is familiar with me. God knows my routines. He knows my patterns of behavior. there are whole careers based around predicting people's patterns of behavior. But God knows us well enough to know what is out of our normal character. He knows when I say something that just isn't in line with who I normally am. He knows when I'm having a bad day, and he knows the reasons why I'm saying those things in bad days that I am. He knows with whether I'm saying whatever I'm saying to you, he knows whether that's consistent with who I really am or whether I'm just putting on a face. Let me give you an example. Yesterday or the day before, there was a video that surfaced where Donald Trump made some crude comments, and people are asking him to kind of get out of the race for presidency. And he kind of came up with an apology, and he says, "I'm a different person. These comments, you know, were 11 years ago, and that's not consistent with who I am. Anyone who knows me knows that that's not who I am." And as much as he may say that, God knows whether the comments he made are actually consistent with the kind of person he is, or whether that was a mistake, whether that was a mess up one time thing that is totally out of his character. Nothing about you surprises God. Even when you're having the worst days, even when you're having those days where you're like, "I'm just in a rough mood today, stay away from me or I'm going to snap," God knows whether that is really who you are, or he knows the factors behind that making it a bad day. He is familiar with all of you. David continues in verse 4. He says, "Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." This is crazy. God's knowledge goes beyond what has taken place and what is going on right now. God knows what will take place. God has what's called foreknowledge, where he knows the future. But not only that, he knows what will take place in any given scenario. He knows what I would do if I was in a sinking boat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. He knows how I would react in that way. He knows what I will do or say. He knows the conversation you will have around Thanksgiving dinner today or tomorrow. He knows the arguments you're going to have with your spouse this week, heaven forbid. He knows how you will respond to hearing about the all-knowing knowledge of God. Even before you pray to him, he knows what's on your heart. He knows what you are needing to pray. He knows what you need to pray for better than you do. God knows what we will say before we even say it. So far in this psalm, in this poem, in this song inspired by God that David writes, we know that God not only knows our actions, but our intentions and thoughts as well. God is familiar with all our behavior, and nothing about us surprises him because he knows what's normal and what's within our character. God knows what we will do, what we will say in any situation, in the past, in the present, or in the future. And that's kind of overwhelming to David. I imagine him sitting there penning these words and realizing the magnitude of who God is and how that would overwhelm him. And he kind of writes about that. Verses 5 and 6, he says, "You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me. It is high. I cannot attain it." The language he's using here where God's hemming him in, it's like, I feel exposed, surrounded, vulnerable, like a fish in a glass fishbowl. Like you can see everything that's going on. I have no privacy. I feel small. It's too wonderful for me. And this knowledge that God sees all things, knows all things, even the things that we don't express, even the things in our hearts that we don't even realize. That can either be the scariest news you'll hear this week or the most comforting news you hear this week. Let me explain what I mean by that. How we approach this, whether this scares the bejeebers out of us or whether this comforts us, depends on how we relate to God. It depends our heart and attitude with God. Espionage is the art or the act of collecting information about your enemy that you can then use against them. That's not what God is doing here. God isn't breaking into your personal, private space. He's not Big Brother collecting evidence against you. He's not into the espionage game. He's not Cold War era Russia bugging your hotel room. He's the all-knowing God of the universe who isn't breaking into your space. He created you and invites you into his space. But yes, he does know everything about you. You are exposed. Your sin is exposed. Your dark thoughts are exposed. And that can be scary. But man, I'm thankful that it's the all-knowing God of the universe, the one who is loving and holy and just and all-powerful, that knows these things about me and not all of you guys. If I'm going to be honest, I'm glad that it's the all-knowing God of love and justice and holiness who will judge us all one day. I'm glad it's him who knows all things about us. I'm glad it's him who knows what's in my heart and not some human judge that only sees what's on the outside. David is comforted. At the end of the psalm we read later on, David is comforted by knowing that God knows everything, that God knows his heart and his thoughts. Because David is being chased down by Saul on the premise of false accusations, where Saul is chasing him down, trying to kill him, and making crazy accusations against him. God doesn't believe the spin that the media puts on things. God doesn't believe propaganda because God knows the truth. He knows the hearts of you and me. He knows when we're lying and putting on a face. So God knows when David can rightly stand up and say, I'm innocent. And David takes comfort in that. That even though Saul is chasing after him and accusing him, he knows that God knows he's innocent. And so this brings David to a place of worship and of trust. And I think for those of us who are followers of Jesus, that is the appropriate response to this. Is yes, we could cower and feel small and exposed, but ultimately, from what we know of who God is, it should lead us to trust. That if God is all loving and all good and perfectly just and holy, then I can trust him with the knowledge of the deep things in my heart. Does it not show us the splendor of God? Does it not show us the magnitude of his power and his ability? Does it not show us that he is greater than any other power, than any other system, than any other software algorithms out there that might show us a lot of knowledge? We can be thankful that it's God who knows all things and not everyone else. because it is Thanksgiving. I think it's appropriate for us to respond in thankfulness to this knowledge that God knows all things. And so this morning I put together kind of some reasons I think that knowing that God knows everything should draw us to be thankful. I have three things this morning. I'm thankful that God knows everything because all of the things that we don't know, God does. Have you ever worried about the future? Have you ever worried about how the bills are going to get paid? Have you ever worried about the direction of our country, about this upcoming U.S. election? God knows. He knows what will happen. And here's something especially comforting to me. God knows my blind spots. God knows the areas in my life that I'm weak in when it comes to life and faith and pursuing Him, that I'm not even aware of, that I'm too ignorant to even see them. That's why I call them blind spots. God knows those areas in my life. And because He is all-knowing, because He is good, because He holds the future in His hands, He, in His goodness, can put me in situations that actually firms up those weak spots in my life, even without me knowing it. Some of the things we go through that we call suffering right now might actually be areas that God is firming up those weak spots in our life that we're not even aware that we have. Until we look back, totally unaware that that was even an issue in our life, we look back and say, I know that through this season of my life, God was developing godly patience in me. And that was something I didn't even realize I needed to grow in. God was showing me how to be patient in this season. God was showing me how to trust Him, to be dependent on Him in this hardship that I was going through. Hindsight is 20/20, right? When we look back, we can see how God has been almost secretly working these things out in our lives, in covering our blind spots for us. And so I'm thankful today that God, who is all-knowing, is doing this secret work of sanctifying me, of making me more like Him, even when I'm not aware of it. The second reason I'm thankful this morning is because if God is all-knowing, that means His wisdom is ultimate wisdom. That if God knows all things, if He created all things, that He knows how they work well. He knows what's best for us. And so I'm thankful that God has disclosed His wisdom to us in Scripture, in His Son coming and showing us what true and full life looks like. Through the Holy Spirit who's with us day by day, guiding us and directing us and nudging us. I'm thankful that God's wisdom, that God chose to share His great wisdom with us so that we're not left here alone trying to figure things out. It's like we're playing Monopoly with the guy who invented Monopoly, and he's showing us the best strategies and ways to play. We have an all-knowing God who discloses His wisdom to us. And so I'm thankful for that this morning. The third thing I'm thankful for this morning, and this is probably the overarching one, is that God knows the depth of our sin, but chose to love us anyway. There are days where I am overwhelmed by the darkness and sin in my own heart. You ever have those days where you're like, man, I am just not, like, am I even a Christian? Am I even someone who is changed and redeemed by God? Those days where we feel discouraged by our own depravity. And God sees that. But like we sang in that song earlier, Indescribable, we sang, you know the depths of my heart and you love me the same. The God who sees everything sees how messed up and broken we are, but loved us enough that in the midst of knowing that he sent Jesus to die for us, while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was worth it to him. It was worth it for him to send a perfect human being, God, man, together as one, who came, lived perfectly, and died for us. A life that should never have faced death for us. Because it was worth it to God, even though we're broken and messed up. When I see something that I own that is broken, I usually throw it out. God chose not to do that. It was worth it to him. And so this morning, I am thankful to our all-knowing God that he shows us his great love for us when we see how all-knowing he is, when we see how much he knows, when he sees that he knows the depth and the darkness of our heart, the light, the brightness of his love contrasts all the more. We see how amazing his love is for us when we know that he knows everything that's going on in our hearts. It blows me away. So this morning on Thanksgiving, I want us to be thankful people. People who acknowledge the all-knowingness of God and are thankful to him for it. So we're going to do something this morning that's a little bit different than we normally do. I want to invite you to participate in this. I've listed three things that I'm thankful for. They were pertaining to God being all-knowing, but yours don't have to be. I would love to invite you to speak up and to mention things that you are thankful to God for this morning. That we might be able to share and to praise God together with thankfulness for who he is, for what he's done in our lives. That these testimonies, these ways we've seen God at work can be encouraging to one another and be a way that we praise our all-knowing and gracious, loving God together.